Welcome to the Dakota Midday Book Club, a special edition of Dakota Midday, heard on Fifth Fridays. I'm Carl Gerke. Coming up, we'll get some ideas for books for summer reading, and if you have any summer books you'd like to share with us, you can email midday@sdpb.org. And also later this hour, we'll talk with Hugh Weber, who shares his experiences about becoming a new father in the book Dude to Dad. But first, the death of a judge in a small South Dakota town unwraps a series of old mysteries in the new novel by Belle Fouche writer John English called Murder on the Missouri. The judge's death in a car accident comes more than 50 years after his wife's unsolved murder. The book is set in the fictional South Dakota town of Clinton on the banks of the Missouri. At the center of the novel is 14-year-old John Henry Higgins, who lives with his grandmother and spends his summer doing lawn work with his Uncle Lou. One of their clients happens to be the judge. John English writes for woodworking magazines, and his work has appeared in dozens of woodshop and how-to books. Murder on the Missouri is his first novel, but in 2005, he was awarded a literary fellowship by the Wyoming Arts Council. John English joins us on the line. John, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Good morning, Carl.
Well, I'm wondering how this whole book started. When you began, did you have the idea of the unsolved murder of the judge's wife first, or did you have a picture of this fictional town of Clinton?
Well, we raised a couple of boys, and having them live in South Dakota and live the life out here, we had moved out from the Twin Cities, and The main character in the book, John Henry, is kind of an amalgamation of our own kids. So that's really where it started. Not quite sure where the mystery came from. I just started writing, and it happened, and it started developing, and pretty soon it was telling me the story. I wasn't telling the story, so.
Was that the fun part of writing the book, you had this character, you had this town, and just letting the story tell itself?
It's a big part of it. I spend my life writing nonfiction work. I write woodworking books mostly and articles for magazines. And that's a very formatted thing. It's very formal. You start out with a list of things you have to cover and you work your way through them. And this was taking the reins off and letting the horse run. It was really fun, very creative and a lot of fun.
Now, you mentioned that the character John Henry is somewhat inspired by your own kids. He doesn't, maybe tell us a little bit about him. He doesn't really hang around kids his own age. He's mostly in the world of adults.
Mm-hmm. This was probably going to be a coming-of-age novel when it started out, but it ended up being a mystery for adults. And John Henry is transitioning from being a 14-year-old into an adult, or from being a child into an adult, and he's hanging out with a lot of older people. And somewhere along the line, we kind of moved from that childhood thing to the adult thing. And the book is a lot about his relationship with older people and how they reveal their lives to him. And, of course, while they're doing it, they reveal some things that they probably didn't want revealed.
And some of those older people include Uncle Lou, who we mentioned. He works with him during the summer doing lawn work, beloved uncle. And also his mother, who comes back to town, and she hasn't been around for a while. Essentially, his grandmother raised him.
Mm-hmm. Pretty typical family nowadays. Dad's gone. Grandma's raising him. His mom actually had a little problem with addiction, and she comes back to town, and she's clean, but her partner isn't, and that's another little dynamic going on in the story. It's kind of interesting.
Do you think that a fictional town like Clinton, the setting of the book, is that a stereotypical small South Dakota town, do you think?
Boy, is there a stereotypical small town in South Dakota? We're in Belle Fouche, which is a farm town, and Sturgis is 5 or 10 minutes away, and that's a motorcycle town, and Deadwood is a gambling town, and Lead is a mining town, Spearfish is a university town. These towns in South Dakota are really, really different. Stereotypical is kind of hard to nail. East River, West River, two different states almost.
How would you describe Clinton then? What kind of town are we dealing with here?
it's a stage for the action that takes place. The book doesn't really get into the town itself very much. It gets into the people in the town. And what we've discovered, we've lived in London, we've lived in Minneapolis, St. Paul, we've lived in a lot of big places. And when you get to South Dakota, there's just a different kind of people. They're just, I mean, you don't lock your doors, and they work hard. And, you know, we've left the store door open here at nighttime and had people come by and put a sandbag against it and a note. You know, it's just it's a different culture. So that was where Clinton came from. It was just Belle Fouche, those small towns like this that have just these incredible people in them.
Does that that intimacy, the people that know each other, do you think that makes a small town a good setting for fiction?
Yeah, I think the fewer people there are, the more intimate they become with each other. It's a funny thing, but you can be very lonely in a city.
Yeah, one of the things about a small town, this comes across in your book, Murder on the Missouri, I think, is that the people, since they've been there, a lot of the same families, there's a shared sense of history, which I think is important when you're dealing with an unsolved murder mystery that goes back 50 years.
And there's a continuing theme through it. There's a dance, an annual dance called the Harvest Ball that has happened back then. That's when the first mystery happened, was at the Harvest Ball, and it gets revealed at the 50th anniversary Harvest Ball. And there's a continuation all the way through. The judge was a central figure back then, and he's a central figure now, even though he's just passed away. He parked his car in a lake. There's a lot of continuation through the whole thing. A small town, everybody knows everything that's happening before it happens.
You're listening to the Dakota Midday Book Club on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerken. We're talking with Belle Fouche author John English about his new novel, Murder on the Missouri. You can also find more about it on murderonthemissouri.com. You mentioned, John, that you've been mostly writing how-to articles and books about woodworking. How long have you been writing in general? When did you start writing about woodworking?
Oh, boy. About 33 or 4 years ago, I wrote an article for a small newspaper in St. Paul, and they liked it, so I submitted an article to a woodworking magazine, and that was Woodworkers Business News, which has been defunct for about 20 years. And that sort of led me into the field. I eventually became the associate editor and then the editor of Woodworkers Journal. And I've written for most of the major woodworking magazines. This week I'm working on a piece for Fine Woodworking and Woodshop News, to the magazines. It's been a lot of fun. I'm a cabinet maker by trade. I've got a great big shop upstairs here. I've got about a 2,000-square-foot shop, and if you have listeners there who are into woodworking, they'd be quite jealous. I've got a lathe studio with 5 lathes in it, it's been a pretty good life, and I've really enjoyed writing about woodworking. But this fiction writing is something new, and it's a whole lot of fun, too.
When you're doing the woodworking, do you think about stories? Like when you were writing a Murder on the Missouri, were you thinking about the stories while you were physically building cabinets?
No.
When you're
in the woodshop, you're thinking about the 64 teeth on the table saw blade.
Yeah, you got to concentrate.
You really do. Yeah, I tend to think about characters while I'm driving. I mean, that seems to be my place to think about people. And the other thing that I've noticed, my wife runs a writer's club here. She's been an English teacher for 30 years. And the writer's club, one of the things that I find among the newer writers is that they write a little piece, and then they go back and they edit it, and then they go back and they edit it again, and they change it. My how-to writing has taught me that what you do is you get everything down first, and then you come back and you edit it. So if I have a 1,500-word piece to write for a magazine, I will write 2,500 words and then come back after it's all done. And newer writers tend to write the first 300 or 400 and then they come back and correct themselves and edit and whatever. And they kind of lose sight of where they were going. They lose their voice when they do that because they're trying to make it sound really, really good without concentrating on what they're saying. They're more concerned with how it looks than what it says. So that's been one of the experiences for me as a fiction writer. I sat down and wrote this book and wrote the entire book without going back and rewriting a single paragraph, and then left it for a while and then came back to it and cleaned it up, and it got a lot shorter. But the voice was still there.
Do you think the writing stopping editing that you've noticed with younger writers? Do you think that's partly due to word processing? Unlike back when I first started, everything was on a typewriter. You didn't have that ability.
Boy, you're old. No, I'm not talking about young writers. I'm talking about new writers.
New writers, okay.
Most people in this woodworking club or in this writing club are in their 50s, 60s, some of them 70s. They're new to the process. They do their work in high school and then they live their lives, and now they've got a little bit of time and they're coming back to write about what they know. And in a lot of cases, they kind of skip over what they know because they're more concerned with how they sound. And I don't know if that's a word processor thing or if that's just a writer thing. I think you have to put your time in and do that, because I used to do that too. 30 years ago, that's the way I wrote. And it took me all 5 years or so to get past that.
So it's just a matter of practice and becoming secure in your writing?
Yeah. I think some people, you know, when you start out, you start thinking, boy, are people really going to want to read this? This is just rubbish. I mean, everybody's been through this. And you start doubting yourself. But the key is to write it down, get it all down, and go back afterwards and find the gems in it. But if you don't write it down, you can't edit it. It's not there.
Murder on the Missouri is the, you told me, the first of three books based in the fictional town of Clinton, South Dakota. And you're currently working on a prequel?
I'm working on one that takes place about 25, 30 years before this one, and actually a little bit more than that. It's the end of the Vietnam War, and that is The Cabinet Maker's Son. Big surprise there from a woodworking writer. And I'm about halfway through that one, and it deals with the parents of the characters in the current book.
And then there's another book yet coming out from...
Yes, but it really hasn't told me what it's going to be yet.
Yeah.
I've got a vague notion, but I haven't sat down and played with it yet. What I like to do is not get into the details until the big picture is there.
Now you mentioned Cabinet Maker's Son. You're from Limerick, Ireland, and your father was a woodworker, is that correct?
My father was a hobbyist woodworker. Okay. He actually ran a propane company, but he was very, very good with his hands. And my grandfather was a wheelwright, and he was very good with his hands, too.
So the family tradition.
Yeah. He comes from a very large family. There were 13 in my dad's family, and two girls, and the rest of all the boys were very, very good. They're a building family. You give them a house, and they'll change it.
So what brought you to the U.S.?
I chased a girl. I met Meg in London. I was working as a night clerk in a hotel back in the 70s. When I got out of high school in Ireland, there was about 30% unemployment, so everybody left the country. And I was working as a clerk in a hotel, and she came over with a group from Dakota State in Madison. She was wrapping up her last few credits for her bachelor's. And we met in London, and then she brought me home as a souvenir. 33, 4 years ago.
And then, yeah, you mentioned you've been the cities and I think Watertown and Wyoming and now Belle Fouche.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, she's from Watertown.
Okay.
Family's from Watertown, so we lived there for a little while, and then we moved to the Twin Cities, and we were there for about 20 years. And then we moved out to Casper. We really wanted to be out west, and we had some friends in Casper, so we started there, but... It took about 5 years for the wind to blow us back a little bit east. It was pretty windy in Casper. So.
Now, Murder on the Missouri, it's been out a couple of months?
March, yeah.
March. And what has been the experience like having a fiction book out after several titles of nonfiction, of woodworking-based titles?
Yeah, I'm about as surprised as everybody else. It's kind of weird. I get people from who read my woodworking stuff, and they say, "What's this about?" And, you know, "Are you going to abandon us?" It's a little different.
So it must be, as you mentioned, I think earlier when we started talking, being able to have this different kind of writing after just the freedom. So does the nonfiction and the fiction, do they complement each other in any way, or is it just being able to think differently when you're writing?
Yeah, the nonfiction teaches you how to write because you have to be very efficient. You have to fit everything you need to say into a certain amount of space. So, and the technique, the language, it teaches you how to not repeat yourself, to structure words and thoughts properly. So it's very helpful. When you get into the fiction area, then that guidance is in place. It kind of keeps you on the straight and narrow. Sometimes when you're writing nonfiction, it's a very creative process, and you start kind of wandering off the road a little bit. And having done so much disciplined writing, that kind of kicks in and says, "Hey, wait a minute, you're going too far. Come on back."
John English is the author of Murder on the Missouri, a new book. And for more information, you can visit murderonthemissouri.com. John, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Mud Day, and best of luck with this book and the future books.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to the Dakota Midday Book Club on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Coming up after a short break, we'll get some ideas on good books for the summer from Sioux Falls and Rapid City librarians. And if you have some ideas of summer books, you can share them. You can email us at midday@sdpb.org. And a little bit later this hour, we'll talk with Hugh Weber, who shares his experience about becoming a new father in the book Dude to Dad.